Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. We are so glad that you decided to tune into this particular episode. This is not how we imagined. This is not how we imagined at all. It's quiet, which is probably the last thing you expected from hearing the celebration coverage. Celebration 6 coverage of the Star Wars Report. I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blanton. So glad that you decided to tune in, as I am wont to say. I just think that was the third time in the past 29 seconds that the podcast has been going. And with me, as always, is my opposite of dear sister, Bethany. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome indeed to our show. I am quite excited to be at Celebration here and very tired, as you can probably hear in my voice.
And it's not supposed to happen this soon. No.
I know. Particularly with Celebration and Dragon Con back to back.
More on that later.
We are idiots. Or more like crazy people. I'm not sure which is worse.
Idiots would be staying up till 3 a.m. and then leaving the next day. Yeah, we're actually, listeners, you are lucky. This is day one, by the way. I'll just say this up front. You're listening to the Star Wars Report. This is our coverage of Celebration 6, day one. Just ended this Thursday night at 11:32 p.m. and 49 seconds.
Star Wars.
Nothing but Star Wars.
That's been running through my head about half of today.
Oh, yeah, I love the, you'll get used to the music playing overhead, and it's kind of background music for your life. Mm-hmm. So we're doing daily podcast episodes when and wherever how we think we might be able to. This is not how we planned it. We are back in our hotel room, and it's just Bethany and me.
Just lonely just little us two.
Pause for a second, listen to this. That is the sound of absolute silence. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Anyway, but yeah, Bethany, we're just going to talk a little bit about what we've done today and how Celebration is going, how we're enjoying it.
Well, let's give the listeners, let's start at the very beginning.
It's a very good play. This is going to be rough.
We're not...
No big live shows from the floor, nothing like that, although we were briefly on a panel. We can mark that off the bucket list. That's kind of interesting. But we're just going to kind of share our experience with you, and hopefully maybe we'll be able to do some stuff from the floor.
Quick question for you, Riley, real quick. Are you recording through the correct microphone inputs? Because I know we had the digital audio recorder switched.
You can't be too careful because...
Okay. Well, we were recording.
Ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of behind the scenes.
To explain to the listeners, we were recording an Ian McDiarmid panel earlier, which
more on that.
You guys will hear soon, if it turned out correctly.
It did.
Okay, good. And we use a different input for that. So right now we're using microphones.
Yep. Mic input, and then there's the cool little inbuilt one on the digital audio recorder for panels that we're using. Anyway, long story short. So, we're just going to share our experience at Star Wars Celebration and bring that to you guys, the listeners. And I'm hoping tomorrow maybe we'll do some stuff from the con floor. We were almost able to. We were this close. I'm holding my hands 2 inches apart. We are this close to interviewing Daniel Logan, and I have a feeling it will happen before this weekend is out. But what did we do today, Bethany? What did we do?
Well, how about if we start with us getting here, because it almost didn't happen, quite frankly. Now,
that's probably the most memorable part.
Our listeners, most of them will know that both Riley and I have been very busy over the summer, and we haven't done very regular Star Wars Report episodes. Riley's been home about 2.5 weeks of the summer, and I've been home about 4 weeks of the summer. So that kind of gives you an idea of the amount of traveling and stuff that we've been doing with summer schools and whatnot. But both of our grandmothers actually recently got sick and were in the hospital, and one particularly more than the others. So that's been keeping us pretty busy. But come Tuesday evening, the night before Wednesday we drove from Atlanta to Orlando, 7.5-hour drive. But Tuesday evening.
Okay. Yep.
We are on our way back to Atlanta.
Yep.
And we do not get to Atlanta until 3 a.m., at which point we go into the house where we're staying. And we find out that the pipes have burst and the basement is semi-flooded. And so 3 a.m. on the day that we're supposed to drive to Orlando, we're dealing with this mess in the basement. But we do finally manage to clean it all up and head off and start on our journey and what we called Operation.
Get to Orlando before midnight.
No, I want your epic voice.
And then we launched Operation Get to Orlando Before Midnight.
Exactly. Pound.
Hashtag on Twitter.
Yes.
Yep, that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was.
And we
I
made
was stuck
it
this
by about 11
Wednesday
o'clock.
Afternoon. Yeah, Wednesday mid-morning, early afternoon. We spent packing because we didn't have much of a chance to pack beforehand. And then, of course, cleaning up. I was down in the basement doing stuff. But anyway, that I was trying to think of a clever Star Wars reference and none came. I'm just glad we're here. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. But we made it down, and we did get here before midnight, about 11 o'clock, 11:30 last night, and which is the time it is currently. And so that meant, basically, we got in late, didn't get a ton of sleep, not as much. My cardinal rule I'm becoming familiar with convention rules, or really any time you travel, is that it is remarkably important to... this is my convention advice. Riley's convention advice. And now your host, Riley Bland, is a couple things. Always try to get at least 6, preferably 8 hours of sleep. Like, for instance, I plan on getting up about 8 tomorrow morning, which means I plan on being to bed in the next 23 minutes. So sorry, listeners, I just gave away the length of the show. Where was I?
Getting enough sleep.
Getting enough sleep, thank you. That's for tip number 1. The tip number 2 is have somebody who can remind you what your train of thought was. No. Yeah, that's right. But these things are important. And it's amazing to me that people ignore this, because a lot of people got here 2 or 3 days ago to go to Disney or vacation. And literally, they've just honestly just partying and hanging out with people, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand staying up till 4 a.m. and then getting up at 7 for 3 days in a row before the convention starts. And then you expect to do it. Because
you do that over the
convention. The human body, people say, oh, wow, we're so hardcore. We're having such a good time that we're going to just get 3 hours of sleep a night or a week. Which is like, why would you do that to yourself? Because it takes away from the experience.
It does take away from the experience. But those first couple of days, people are so excited. They're not really thinking.
That's true.
or they think that they can make it all the way throughout. But in my experience, and listeners, you may be able to tough it out. In my experience, if I go multiple nights with 2 to 4 hours of sleep, I'm really not doing well by the end of a week. And I've done this multiple times over the summer, too.
Believe me, see, and as want is to happen in the past couple episodes, is that correct, Graham? As want is to happen?
Yes.
As want is to happen in the past couple episodes, I will, of course, bring in my Civil Air Patrol cadet career and say, I have actually, what part of the training we did at the Advanced Pararescue course that I was at in late July is sleep deprivation training, where you go for 4 days and they force you to get less than an hour of sleep every night in the field. And so that's serious military training. And they do that to see how far your body can go. And as you slowly lose, and I've personally experienced the extremes of this, where you slowly lose all cognitive ability. And so when you just bring that back to Star Wars, you know, guys, just get some sleep. You'll be able to interact, socialize, smile, and not be dead on the first day of the convention.
Yeah, so particularly if you are planning on doing Disney before Celebration, then you're doing Celebration, and then several days later you're doing Dragon Con. Oh, boy.
These people exist.
Yes, they do. But yeah, I guess we're rambling a little, but
yep.
Anyway, we made it.
As we
just
are
barely.
Wont to do.
We made it, but just barely,
so,
to Celebration.
Yep. And
day
this morning,
one.
Hooked up with our buddies from U Cantina, William, his brother, his brother at Ved Kaseb.
Thomas.
Thomas, thank you.
Twitter
name
handles.
Came.
Oh, that's funny.
That's sad. The Twitter name came before his real name. I apologize, Thomas. And Steven, those guys are awesome. We met them down in the hotel lobby and traversed our way once again to Celebration. A walk down memory lane, literally, because we're staying in the same hotel. Going the same route.
Yeah,
the same
I was telling Austin of U Cantina, who is also with us, that it doesn't seem like 2 years since the last Celebration.
Yep.
It seems like we were just here. It's so odd. But I wonder if Dragon Con will feel that way. I'm betting it will.
Yeah, it's kind of a trip back in time where we've certainly changed a lot as individuals in the past 2 years and had a lot of unique experiences. But you kind of, it's a little bit like returning home. The involvement in the Star Wars community hasn't really changed. So you guys hear that when you listen to the show, is that the Star Wars side still sounds a little bit the same, but we've certainly changed. But we get back to that same lane that you walked 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely interesting.
But anyway, we traversed our way over, waited in line, yay, where we met up with Nancy and Brian from Tashi Station Radio,
yep.
And Shannon and Aaron from Twitter, Aaron Victor, I should say. And
at Vero Jetscar, at mm-hmm. Nancy Pants.
Well,
at
I'm
Lane
doing
Winry,
the whole and thing a lot. I'm tired. Speaking of trying to get enough sleep.
I'm just trying to sneak in all the Twitter plug.
Yes.
But that's amazing. This is the first time, completely unlike last year when we knew maybe five people.
Yeah.
And then of those five people, maybe one or two we had more than 2 minute conversations with.
Well, see, by the time we went with the EU Cantina and Solo Sound people to go to the media line, which that's an interesting story in and of itself.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
We got there, and the lady there looked at us, and she was like, you're not all media, are you? Because
which,
by then, we was like a
which,
large
by the way,
crowd of podcasters
being, yeah,
and
there's about, well, no, there's
people.
About five or six. That's not a large crowd. Here,
well,
let me explain something. There are 30,000 to 40,000 people coming to this convention.
I know, and I wonder
so,
why she seemed to think that we were like this humongous group of people coming. And
well, let me reverse the situation. So I'm a rebel, I guess is what I'm calling them. I'm a staff member wearing the green shirt, staff. And I'm volunteering, and my idea, well, my idea of a good time is volunteering at Celebration, and by golly, standing by the escalator and say, you can't go up until you have your media badge or until you have a 4-day pass. So we're like, okay, well, what? But yeah, you're right. What was the quote you had? It was, you guys aren't all media, are you?
Yes.
which is the first sign that kind of frustrates me because frankly we're just a gaggle of millennials sitting there excited about the celebration, and since we didn't have a polo shirt and we didn't look like we were media, you know? So she wasn't our first impression was not to be helpful with somebody that she thought was important. So, which is fair enough. We're not CNN.
Yeah.
We're a small Star Wars podcast. But she says, but the media room's upstairs, which is where we've been told to go to pick up our media badge. She said, well, you can't go upstairs to pick up your media badge until you have it. Until you have it, someone will have to hand it to you.
Yeah, that.
But
that
you
was
have
actually,
to show.
That was the security guy.
Yeah,
that was
true.
Annoying.
Yeah, I'm kind of combining the two people, but the security guy was also there, and he's like, no, you can't do that, sir. You have to do. You have to show. Go get your badge. I said, but sir, to get the badge, you have to show your ID. So no one up there, even if we did know somebody up there, which we didn't, would have to actually. They can't even physically get our badge because you're supposed to show.
Yeah, you have to show
photo
ID
before
yeah.
you get media badge. So, I'm like, sir, just for clarification. So, before we go upstairs to get our media badge, we've got to have our media badge to get upstairs, right? And he's like, yes, sir.
And the guy said, yes. I was...
And I just kind of let that awkward silence for a second sink in. And I thought, this is, you know...
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I thought, this can't really be happening because that is such an obvious lack of logic, frankly. But anyway...
But he was doing his job. I'm sure he's a nice fellow. I think. I hope. Anyway.
I refrain from speaking. But the staff lady there was very nice, and she said, okay, well, if you can pull up your media confirmation codes and show them to me, then I can let you guys upstairs. So we each individually pulled out our codes and showed mm-hmm. them to her and went upstairs, picked up our media passes, and then headed back to the main line to meet up with friends and other people. So that was pretty neat in the end. Kind of an interesting beginning where we were wondering if we were actually going to be able to get into the convention or not without paying a good bit more money than we'd thought we'd have to.
Yeah, those passes aren't cheap when you walk up the door. They're not cheap when you buy the
yeah.
pre-buy them at the discounted rate, but you walk yeah. up, it's what, $145.
We'll have
bucks.
To we'll have to do an episode of convention advice at some point, but basically in order to save a fair amount of money at both Celebration and Dragon Con,
I feel like, yeah.
Riley and I did a combination of doing media passes.
Oh, go ahead.
We're also splitting hotel rooms for Celebration with each other and with our mom, who's here with us.
And we did the sweet deal with a group. We did a group deal with the
Eat
Cantina
deal
guys,
where
too.
We registered early.
Yeah.
And we drove here, which saves a lot of plane ticket money. For Dragon Con, we'll be staying with relatives in Georgia, and we will
be driving
ourselves there. So no hotel fees, no bus or taxi fees, no travel fees other than gas money.
Yeah.
So that is how we've approached it, to save money.
Yeah, and you can go into much greater detail on advice for people even who have to fly in on ways to do a convention on a budget, because I feel like there have been, like, Club Jade had tons of great, fantastic convention advice, but
I think most of them already assume that you're going.
They're assuming you're going or assuming how to do it. I think how to afford Celebration 7 2 years from now and do a series on that, because conferences in general, whether it's Star Wars, which is purely entertainment, but it is, fun, or vacations, if you want to say, or even like self-help or self-improvement or specific career field conferences, meeting in person in a career field or a field of interest, whether, there's a new media conference I'm thinking about going to, Catalyst Conference in Atlanta, you've got, these different in-person events are so much better than the way we've become, our culture's become so hyper centralized and self-focused, in that our interaction is purely digital, which is amazing, and it's amazing how much we can do it. Do this podcast,
but I think you misspoke.
It's important.
Interactions online aren't inherently self-focused, but because they're not.
If you use Twitter, you're a selfish jerk, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, pot calling the kettle black, are we? Just a little. But online interaction is different than in-person interaction. And also, what you hear of these events is good, but sometimes you can't tell what is good advice from people who've been going to conventions, who have the same mindset as you, aren't willing. I saw someone who said that Dragon Con costs them over $2,000 each year, and my jaw dropped. And I was thinking, how on
earth? Well, no wonder you...
One... I could never spend that kind of money on a convention. Two, why would you want to? And three, what on earth are you spending it on?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's about, $600
a day? Because I was curious for convention advice, and I was Googling for Dragon Con budget advice, and that was the first thing that came up, and I'm like, no, that's not a budget. That's called blowing the budget.
Yeah. So there are ways to be... to be smart about how you do your money and saving and looking ahead. And I think it's important, because I think that a convention like this for a Star Wars fan or any convention of a field of interest is worth saving the money and being intentional about being able to go. And
well, it honestly, it depends on what your priorities are.
Even if you do have to mop up a bunch of filthy water in your basement before doing it. And anyway, let's see. So we've been going about almost 20 minutes, but we want to talk about our actual day for a couple of minutes before we wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
I will briefly summarize, and feel free to, I guess, just add commentary as we go. We went to the Clone Wars Tech panel, where it was Joel Aaron and Dave Filoni. Great summary of some events, some fun little inside jokes. The one thing that jumped out to me most from the panel was not just they talked about how the technology behind making the Clone Wars, but Dave Filoni was willing to make a little bit of fun of himself when he talked about someone said, "Hey, where's Kitster?" Of course, a force cast joke of where's Kitster and where's Ben Quadraneros, and he said, "You know what? If I'm tempted, but I would do that, and maybe 12 people would like that episode. It'd be like the Poison Snapple Mandalorian episodes." So he was willing to make fun of himself a little bit. After that, we had.
Oh, I did want to say one thing that I thought was quite amusing in that panel was it was Dave Filoni and Joel Aaron and David Collins, I believe, was the stage host.
David Collins is the stage host.
Right.
The digital stage.
So
that seats a big fat bunch of people, by the way.
Dave Filoni started telling a story about how detail oriented he is, and Joel Aaron just started laughing before he even started the story, which of course clued us all into, good story coming. But apparently the Clone Wars crew we're making all these fantastic and wonderful designs. And then in one of the episodes of Clone Wars, I don't remember the title, but there's this cake in the background at a party. And apparently they just made this really
it was the one with
plain
the Rodian
white
senator
cake
visiting.
That was completely boring. And Dave Filoni looked at that cake and he's like, really, guys? You're designing all of these starships and fighters and all of these amazing graphics. And you put this silly little plain cake in here. Really, guys? So apparently the Clone Wars crew has really given Dave a hard time about wanting a prettier cake in the Clone
King
Wars.
Is a lie. Yeah, and let's see, we swung by, I will try to quickly summarize as we go through, we swung by the Forcecast Live recording and got to meet Steven Stanton and his crew again, and we met a lot of people, Jedi Schwa, Sheldon Norton, in fact, we were interviewed, which is crazy, we were asked that, I mean, how crazy is that? Well, more on that later, I'm not sure what level of secrecy or anything's happening, but suffice to say there's a Star Wars fan documentary that Sheldon's working on, and
hopefully
I think there's more details.
Appearance.
Yeah, it would be cool. I mean, that'd be cool.
You never know exactly what will hit the final editing process or not. But
that's like these two crazy people edit them out.
Yeah.
that was awesome, and meeting a lot of people swung through and had a chance to really just briefly walk through most of the exhibit hall floor. Not all of it, but most of it. Then we also
we ran into that
pull up my iPod while you talk
fireball of energy known as
Daniel Logan.
He was quite nice and friendly. We spoke with him briefly and that was a lot of fun. We had set up an interview with him, but his line was fairly long at the time.
Yeah, so that's the thing with our interview technique style, ladies and gentlemen, is hope the line gets really short. Oh, they're all gone. All right, quick, get over there and ask them if they won't mind doing an interview. Hopefully, if they're nice people, they'll give us an interview. Then we give an interview 5 minutes and somebody's lying behind us. Okay, so we're done.
Something along those lines, but pretty much to be courteous of the guests and their time spent, really.
It's not, you won't make friends if you're blocking them from their paying.
They're there for the fans
autograph,
who have traveled. Like in some cases, we met these guys from Australia who traveled from Australia to come to this convention.
Right.
And, you know, they do interviews all the time with people. So while, yes, technically in taking 10, 15, 20 minutes to speak to us, they'll reach more people than 10, 15, 20 minutes that they let the line through. But those fans have traveled a long way to see them and meet them in person and experience that in person.
We did a little bit of skipping panels that we thought, and that was a good decision because we were just hanging out with friends. Oh, and we got to hang out. It's weird. I say weird, but in the best way possible is that we were able to hang out with Steve Glosson and some guys. Of course, the Wampa's Lair people we've been meeting up, Chris Hoth, Ice Planet, Michael Cohen of the Frontlines podcast. I mean,
of course, we had lunch with Aaron Goins.
Yes, yep. Aaron Goins, a writer, and who was kind enough, he's been live tweeting for us from some of the panels.
Yeah.
And but we bullied.
Oh, just as a side note, me, Riley, and Aaron will all be tweeting from the Star Wars Report account.
Yes.
Over the
I don't know when we'll get this up. Because it just occurred to me that I'm going to sleep after this. And
I might start the episode upload and then see if I can work on show notes in the morning if I have time because I may need to get up and do laundry. Yay, the realities of being at a convention where you have far too little time to do anything.
Yay. All right. But we skipped the Star Wars 1313 panel as well as the Bullied panel that
going to the Bullied panel, but the Ian McDiarmid line was already forming, and we had some friends who were texting and tweeting us.
Yeah.
Hey, come
get
line.
With great reluctance
that
I've come to Orlando.
First of all, whoever's idea it was to put James Arnold Taylor in charge of that stage, that was a good decision.
Well done, sir.
Yes, everyone knew it. But he went above and beyond even my expectations, which were already high.
He's a great
high.
Host, yeah.
Yes, he is a great stage host, and he asked a lot of fantastic questions of Ian McDiarmid. And Ian McDiarmid was quite the classy Shakespearean actor, and he knew about the live-action series, which was interesting, and said that he would love to reprise his role as the Emperor at some point on the live action screen.
Yeah, and he's
if it happens,
he's in fantastic health as well. He's very energetic and everything. Yeah. I was actually surprised, and I know he's still a theater actor and still active, but I was still surprised at his level of energy. Fantastic, and I recorded that panel, so we'll have either some excerpts or maybe the whole thing. I'm not sure how that works. I don't know if Lucasfilm will zap us or something like that. I doubt
it. Cease and desist.
I doubt it.
You evil people.
Episode 1 and 2 were on the big screen that night. We did not have a chance to see them, but we did get to go have dinner and awesome times with Steve Glosson and Carl. Big huge shout out. And that's what's different about this convention, because Celebration 5, this is when we would be stuck, done for the day, exhausted, and go back to our hotel room, and we wouldn't really know anybody. But, I mean, just having dinner and conversation.
The difference between Celebration 5 and Celebration 6 for us, in a way, other than actually trying to cover the convention as media, while also trying to enjoy ourselves as fans, which is a difficult balance to strike, honestly, sometimes. But the difference here is that at Celebration 5, we knew about 5 people. Celebration 6, we know about
nearly 30-ish
people now, and at one point we had William Devereaux was kind enough to start saving us seats for one of the panels, and we ran into someone who knew us, and they're like, oh, we're going to that panel too, we'll join you. We ran into someone else who
knew
us. So eventually I call William back, and I'm like, you change that to like 6 or 8 more extra seats? And he's like, okay, sure, who are you bringing?
And as far as size, just last commentary before we wrap this up, good size. It's about the same as it was last year. I have a feeling there might be a few more people from some people from things I've heard. There might be a few more people attending this year, but it's a similar size crowd, which, long term, when you think whether or not they want to keep this thing here in Orlando, we'll find out probably throughout the week, but weekend, what their plans are because of that closing ceremonies. But
everyone.
Who thinks that George Lucas is going to be a surprise guest at the closing ceremonies? By the way,
that would be fun.
That just occurred to me this afternoon, and
there are a lot of thoughts about the closing ceremonies, but mostly just rumors. No one knows anything for sure.
Yeah,
they're talking. No.
Yeah, they're being very tight-lipped on that. Tomorrow, a little preview, Bethany, for the audience, where they've got the vocal talent of Star Wars, the super secret Star Wars panel with Seth Green, Star Wars Detours, basically. It's worst kept secret, everybody knows. Seth Green has been tweeting surreptitious pictures of a Detours logo with himself in the foreground looking very cheeky.
Of course.
There's an hour with Anthony Daniels, which I'm really hoping to catch that panel. We've got the Inside the Force cast panel.
That should be fun.
Warwick Davis, possibly. We'll see if we can do that. And, of course, the big thing tomorrow is the red carpet premiere of Season 5, and we will be there. Huge shout-out and thank you to William of We Talk Clones, who scored us some VIP seats, and that was very, very nice of him. I don't mind saying so, because we would be sitting in the back of the room and, nerding all over the floor in the very back.
If I can verbify all over the floor, does that look like exactly? I'm not sure.
That looks like the. I say this with the best kindness, but we also met. I forgot to shout out Savannah.
Oh yeah,
Kiefer and.
I know what you're doing.
The expression would be something similar after that crew, the Star Wars Underworld crew. We love you guys. Ran into Dave Filoni and Joel Aaron on the con floor.
Now, if you know Savannah or at Cat Bane's Chick on Twitter, she is a huge fan of photography, and she's a good photographer herself. Check out her stuff if you get the chance. And she and all of her friends, when they met Dave Filoni and Joel Aaron, after Dave Filoni and Joel Aaron left, there were some Celebration staff going around. They gathered into like this little group hug and started squealing with delight over the chance meeting and everything. And it was so awesome. And all the Celebration staff around them were just grinning because of the enthusiasm. And that was fun. But we met her, and that was quite nice. Because we've known her on Twitter for a while now, but I haven't been able to meet her until now. We met Consetta Parker in person.
Yep.
She was incredibly busy, as you can imagine, because of the Rancho Obi-Wan experience, and because James Arnold Taylor,
he's doing a couple things this weekend.
Yeah.
That man is busy.
So.
And tomorrow's episode 3 and 4 on the big screen. I am hoping to actually sit down. That was one of the most funnest, funnified events.
Just use the Jack Sparrow quote.
It was hanging out and relaxing at the theater screening episode 3. Now, of course, the Mark Hamill panel runs into it conflicts with the first half of episode 3 or so, but
yeah,
it'll be wrapped up at about 8:30, and you have the last half of episode 3 and all of episode 4 on the big screen.
Now, lines here digital at stage. Celebration aren't that bad. We waited, what, an hour and 40 minutes in line for Ian McDiarmid?
No, not even that. It was
an hour and 30 minutes?
No, it was like an hour and 15,
if I remember right. It was more than that, because, yeah, it was
we're like an old married couple. Have you ever noticed that? We're like, it was back in 1914. No, dear, it was 1944. 43, 44. Just tell me what happened.
Yes. But anyway, I'd say, you know, for the larger stars, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Ian McDiarmid, anyone like that, it tends to be an hour to 2 hours, maybe 3 hours tops on Saturday, because Saturday is the busiest day.
Yeah, tomorrow you can promise some big lines for Mark Hamill. We'll have to get in early.
Friday and Saturday are definitely the busiest days. Saturday, definitely,
let me
though.
Take a look. Mark Hamill.
But yeah, lines at Celebration aren't too bad. Lines at Dragon Con are relatively long because it's a much larger convention. Yeah. And I've heard Comic-Con is
just
unbelievable.
Much, much worse. You've got a huge, beautiful convention center designed for this very thing, and then you've got Dragon Con, which is a conglomerate of random hotels and conference rooms in downtown Atlanta.
And you have lines like circling through buildings
and
down
out of buildings and up
out
buildings
and across the sidewalk.
Like you're
there
walk
was a
by
line that went across the side, across the street. So you saw where it broke for the street and started again on the sidewalk on the other side. Did you see that line?
No, but I believe you. All right, we're just over 30 minutes, just past midnight here in the East Coast, downtown Orlando, Florida, the Orange County Convention Center, 2012. Sorry, we're celebrating 6.
And I have one question for you. What did you enjoy most about today?
Hanging out with friends, whether it was and meeting new ones. The two best things. Yeah, that and that's
make
that's
new friends,
but keep the old one is
that
silver,
four or five songs tonight.
Gold. That's probably 6. All right. Good night, folks. This is evening for us, and this is more of an NPR style Star Wars report. You know, we usually have the energy, but it's just we're just quiet, chillaxing on the couch. Feels wonderful. We will hopefully get a chance. Maybe record some in the line tomorrow. It depends on
and
how
I'd
we're feeling in the morning.
I'd love to interview some fans
and swing
as
some
well.
Interviews with different fans and people. I'd love to. And then one thing I'd love to do here, and this is just talking to Bethany and you guys get to listen to it. I'd love
I
to
love
be able
to
score.
To
I know a lot of people that we want to talk to, whether it's James Arnold Taylor or other or Steve Sansweet, those kind of people. Mm-hmm. Definitely, if
we
can run into
them. Steve
is
awesome at
Fan Day. Yeah, yeah. If we can run into them and say, hey, you know, do an interview later. Because meeting in person is much easier to ask. Because, you know what, asking for interviews is the worst. Doing the interviews is awesome. You know, that's just how it goes.
Well, and it's because you don't want to take people's time. But you also, as media, you know, we're providing.
It is our
we're
patriotic duty.
Patriotic duty.
I say.
I love how you put that. But basically, we would like to share our experience with you guys. One of the best ways to do that is to share the people that we meet, the actors that we love, the friends that we see, and the panels and experiences that we experience. So to bring that to you guys, we are doing daily podcasts, so help us. But also, we have fun podcasting. So, and now Riley's just singing Star Wars.
I just realized that I can't do the end music and talk at the same time. So without further ado, we will say, may the force be with you always. Celebration 6, day 1, episode, what is it, 53? I bet it's 53, and then if I'm
53.
Wrong, you can shoot me. That's not the end of this episode.
That would have made a good end.
That was dark. A dark turn. No. Remember, many Bothans died. Not me, but many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Oh. But we can put you into some sort of secret lab and turn you into a Bothan.
It's late.
Yes, it is late.
Goodbye, everybody.
I better end before I get crazier.
So long.